Morning. Today's Daf Nahorios is Daf Dalet. We start today on the Mishnah on Gimel Amud Beis. Mishnah continues teaching us halachas regarding the Parlam Davos Shel Tzibur. Again, the basic idea of the Masechta, which we've been discussing now for 2 days, this is our third day discussing this, is that if Beis issues a Psak, which is incorrect, it's an erroneous Psak, and the people follow it, so under those circumstances, it is now has a Din Taliyah, meaning now the people who follow the Psak of Beis Din are absolved from any kind of blame, as they are listening to Beis Din. They're supposed to listen to Beis Din, and they did listen to Beis Din. So under those circumstances, now the halacha is that they themselves don't have to bring a karbon, but meanwhile Beis Din themselves do have to bring a karbon. The karbon is referred to as the Bar Halam Dav Vishal Sibor, one of the special karbonos that are mentioned in Vayikra and Perek Dalid. And so our Masechta, the first parak, deals with this halacha of Par Halam Dav Vishal Tzibur. In the Mishnah now, we're continuing discussing various aspects of the karbon, and what we're looking at really over here now is whether or not there can be an absolvement of guilt, of blame, on the part of the individual who listened to the Beis Din. So the Mishnah continues now. Hora Beis Din v'yadu shetau v'chazur b'hem. So let's say Beis Din issued a ruling, and then Beis Din came to the realization themselves that they made a mistake, and they were chozer, and so they retracted their ruling. But in other words, they put their ruling out there. So now, bein she'evi'a kaparasan, bein she'lo evi'a kaparasan. Now here at this point in time, it doesn't matter, says the Mishnah, whether they brought their special karbon par halam davar, or they didn't bring their karbon. But yet now I have an individual who followed the ruling of Beis Din. And even though now Beis Din retracted, Beis Din took back their ruling, but they threw it out there. So Rabbi Shimon Poter. So in the Mishnah, we're going to have now a number of opinions on this matter. In the Mishnah itself, actually, just two opinions, but as we're going to see, there are going to be a total of four opinions on this matter. It's kind of hard to imagine you can have four opinions on this matter, but in the Mishnah, we have two opinions on this matter. Number one, Rabbi Shimon says Poter. Rabbi Shimon says you're exempt. And the reason behind Rabbi Shimon, pretty simple. Beis Din threw it out there. Yes, they took it back. Yes, they retracted. But Beis Din threw it out there that this is okay. So regardless of the fact that they retracted, when all said and done, you violated the Torah, but not because you thought you were doing anything wrong. You didn't know you were doing anything wrong. You thought what you were doing was fine. Beis Din issued a ruling. Either retracted, you didn't hear about the retraction. So Rav Shimon says, you're Potter. Rav Elazar Amar Safek. And Rav Elazar says it's a Safek. I don't know. I don't know if the individual is Chayav HaKarbon Chatas or not Chayav HaKarbon Chatas. And what we're going to do in terms of explaining Rav Elazar, in the case of Safek where I don't know, so generally speaking, in the world of I don't know, when it comes to a carbon chatas, so there's another carbon to bring, which is called the Ashram Talui. Ashram Talui is a carbon a person brings when he may be required to bring a carbon chatas. The classic example, which we're going to discuss in just a moment, is where there are two pieces of fat in front of him. There's a piece of Shuman, there's a piece of Chalev. Shuman's permitted, Chalev's prohibited. And he eats one of those two pieces and never has clarity about which piece he ate. Under those circumstances, he has to bring what's called an Ashram Talui. So here, Rabbi Shimon says the same thing. Beis Din issued a psak. Beis Din retracted their psak. Now you have an individual who followed the psak, the retracted psak of Beis Din. Is he liable? Is he not liable? So Rabbi Shimon says, I don't know. And as a result of I don't know, he brings an Ashram Talui. Ezu is Safek. Huh?
Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Shimon?
No, Rabbi Lazar. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon says he's Pater. Oh, I said Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah.
Okay. I take it back. Rabbi Lazar Omer Safek. Ezu is Safek. So Rabbi Lazar says, what's the Safek? So Yashav Lobesoch Beisu Chayav Halach Lamedinas Hayam Pater. So, and now the Gemara goes on to explain. Meaning, if he's sitting in his house, so then he's chayav. Meaning, if he was home, so in other words, he's reading the news as everyone else is reading the news. Now back then, I don't know how news, you know, even in my own lifetime, then, you know, we used to get my news through the newspaper. Okay, that, you know, remember the good old days? So anyway, if you're sitting at home, the expectation is that you should have heard about the retraction of Beis Din. And if you're going out to Medina Sayam, in other words, if you're out on a trip, on a business trip, so then you are going to be exempt because you weren't expected to hear about the retraction of Beis Din. I'm Rabbi Akiva Modani Bezeshe who karov lepetur menachova. And Rabbi Akiva says, I agree. Meaning that if you're traveling on business and Beis Din retracted their psak, you didn't have an obligation. You weren't expected to learn that Beis Din retracted the psak. Amalo Benazir, Mashnazem, and Ayosha Bebeisov. Rabbi Benazir says, I don't see what the difference is. Meaning, if the person is on a trip, the person sitting at home, are they both expected to know the difference between, are they both expected to know the Beis Din retracted the psak? Shayosha Bebeisov, Shayolo Shishma, Vizelo Yafshah Shishma. to which Rabbi Akiva gives a really reasonable response. What do you mean? A person at home, so he hears the news, he reads the news, meaning he's situated in a place where he should hear about the retraction. Someone away on business, however, is not expected to hear retraction. The distinction seems to be pretty reasonable. In fact, later on, the Gemara is going to ask what Rabbi Akiva says back to Ben Azai is a really reasonable response. What would Ben Azai say to that? We'll discuss that later on. All right. So part one of our Mishnah, we're discussing the Psaka Basin, the erroneous Psaka Basin that was retracted from Basin, and the person still is following the erroneous Psak. Is there a liability there or not? So in the Mishnah, we have two opinions, and as we're going to see later on, there are actually a total of four opinions. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. Horror Basin Lakar is called a goof. Amro Einida Batari and Shabbos Batari and Avodas Kochavim Batari. Let's say Basin not only offers a Psak, but a Psak totally eradicating an entire mitzvah. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us that Hare Elu Peturim. So in all these cases, there's going to be a Petur, there's going to be an exemption. Meaning an eradication of an entire mitzvah does not qualify as a psak. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us that there's not going to be a carbon parhelim davar shel tzibur. However, if they're only eradicating an aspect of a mitzvah, so under those circumstances, they're going to be chayav. Let's give examples. Ketzad. It's a drasha. You will see the drasha over the course of today's daf. Ketzad. Let's say, for example, that they say that there is this concept of nida, that a husband's not allowed to be with his wife when she's menstruating, but shomer yom keneged yom, so that's pater. Meaning, as we know, we discussed this in nida at length, a woman in halacha is going on a cycle of 7-11, 7 days where she's a nida, the next 11 days she is a zava. Let me say it better. 7 days are her Yemei Nida, next 11 days are Yemei Zava, and if she experiences any blood flow during the Yemei Nida, so the man is having relations with her, so he is violating the Isra in the Torah of Nida. If during the next 11 days where she's not expected to see blood, if there's blood seen over there, she's what's called a Zava, and the husband's not allowed to have relations with her on the day that she sees and on the next day afterwards. That's what's called an Alacha, Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So let's say based on issues of psak that Yemei Nida are Aser, but Yemei Zava are Mutter, specifically the Yom Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, not the day she sees during Yemei Zava, but the day after that. So let's say based on issues such a psak, meaning so now it's an aspect of Nida. Really, the truth of the matter is it's an aspect of Zava, but we'll tackle that a little bit later on. Yei Shabbos B'Torah Aval Motzim Rishus Yachle Rishus Rabin Potter. Let's say that they acknowledge Shabbos, but what they do is they take out the malacha vautza. Now, the simple reading of the Mishnah is they take out the entire malacha. Well, again, we'll work on that a little bit later on in the Gemara. But in other words, it's an aspect of Shabbos. Yesh avodas kocham v'torah v'amishtach v'pater. Let's say that the Beis Din says, you know, of course there's avodah zarah, but bowing to avodah zarah is not usur. So it's an aspect of avodah zarah. Hare elu chayav. I mean, all these cases now, because it is not, they're not removing the entire mitzvah, but only an aspect of the mitzvah. So under those circumstances, that's where they qualify now for the parham davar shel tzibur. Why? Shenamar vinelam davar. Davar v'lo kol aguf. The pasuk says vinelam davar, meaning that in order to be chayv, in order to be eligible to bring the parham davar shel tzibur, it has to be an aspect of a mitzvah, and it's not the eradication of the entire mitzvah. There are two points that we discussed in the Mishnah. One is based in issuing an erroneous psak and then retracting it. And how do we look at the people who follow that psak once it's been retracted? And the second issue is, what do they have to make a mistake in? Not an entire mitzvah, but an aspect of the mitzvah. And as we're going to start the Gemara, so we are organized, we go through the Mishnah in the order in which the Mishnah presents it. So we are going back now to the first part of the Mishnah. Amar Yud Amar Rav, my time of the Rebbe Shimon. What is the basis behind the ruling of Rebbe Shimon? Remember, Rebbe Shimon says that when a person follows the erroneous ruling of Basin, even after Basin is retracted, so Rabbi Shimon says he's pater. Why? So the Gemara gives a very straightforward explanation. Hol v'rusha is Basin Osa, because Basin said it was okay. Yes, it's true, Basin retracted it, but Basin put it out there that it was okay. Once they put it out there that it's okay, and you have an individual follows that ruling, so then, even though it was retracted, but the person said, look, I heard from Basin, it was okay. Igadami, now the Gemara has a slightly different version of how to say it. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, Hayah Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, Omer Hayah Rabbi Shimon, Kol Arash Yatzah Berov Tzibor. When the Psak came out to Rov Tzibor, in other words, it sounds like what we've been debating the last couple of days of the Gemara, in terms of when is it that the when is the individual exempt from a carbon? When the minority follow it or the majority follow it? Sounds like over here that he, Rabbi Shimon, subscribing to the majority. But in any event, kol harash yafta berov tzibor yachid oso pater. If you have the majority of the people following the pesaka based in, so the individual who does is going to be pater even after based in retracted. Why? Lefishlo nitna hora lalavchim and shogig lamezin. Because the whole purpose of a hora is to help people figure out what's incorrect, what's inadvertent versus what's deliberate. Meaning, and this is Rashi does struggle with this line of the Gemara. Rashi does give two pshatim. I'm just going to simply offer the first pshat of Rashi. Once Beis Din says it's okay, and you do it, so you're not considered a sinner. Meaning, you at this point in time are doing so under the direction of Beis Din. And so, in even though Beis Din retracted, but what you feel you're doing is correct because you heard it issued by Beis Din. Meisvei parhelam davar shal tzibar v'sirei avodas kochavim b'tchila govan aleim divrei Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda amar mitshumas alishkan heim bai. A debate which we will be discussing in tomorrow's daf more extensively, but we're going to touch on it now. Who brings the parhelam davar shal tzibar? This question is a machlokis tanayim. Meaning, when I say who brings it, I mean we could just discuss it from a simple monetary perspective. Who pays for the carbon? Who is required to pay for the carbon? So Rabbi Shimon says that it comes from the people, meaning the collection of, for this carbon is going to come from the people, and it's there's actually going to be an assessment made by the Beis Hamikdash, by the Gizbar, from the people, so that the people will be paying for it. And Rav Yehuda Amar Mitzumas Alishka, same by Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that it comes from the Tzumas Alishka, it's from the Machatzis HaShekel that was already collected in the beginning of the year. So not a special assessment, they're going to dip into the public funds that were already collected. Now, what we're going to be focusing on over here is Rabbi Shimon's position, which is that the money for the carbon for the Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur is going to be based on a special assessment. Now, the question over here is really straightforward. It's really good also. Meaning that if, let's say, there was a special assessment that was sent out to the masses. Hey, Beis Din made a mistake. Beis Din issued a ruling that was incorrect. The majority of the Jewish people followed it. Therefore, we're required to bring Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. You, the people now, each one of you have to contribute whatever the contribution was demanded. So if that's true, how can we not find out about the retraction? In other words, everyone went around and collections were made. Amai came to Gavalu Avale Hoda. So the question over here of the Gemara is really straightforward. If, according to Rabbi Shimon, an assessment is made, and a special assessment is made, everybody should know about the retraction, right? Ibai Seim of the Gemara gives a number of answers in terms of how people don't know. Kigon Shigabustam. One answer of the Gemara is that maybe there was an assessment, but there was no clarification why the assessment was made. And I know as an individual, I wouldn't be happy with that. And in other words, if I get a letter from my association, hey, we have a special assessment. This is what you're going to pay. So I, like pretty much everyone else, would like to know why. What? I do pay monthly. What am I paying extra for? Okay, so hard to understand how there could be a gvia stam, just a collection with no explanation. But that's one answer. Or another example would be, yes, there was a special assessment with a clarification. This is for the Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. He was out of town during the time. So the Gemara says, or maybe, another suggestion is that maybe he has this Braisa we just learned, but the inverted version of the Braisa. And the inverted version of the Braisa goes like this. In this Braisa, we have Rabbi Yehuda saying that there was a special assessment that was made and a collection from everybody. And in this Braisa, Rabbi Shimon says, no, we go to the Trumas Alishka. Meaning we already go to funds that were already collected at the beginning of the year, the Machatzis HaShekel, the Trumas Alishka. And if that's true, so then according to Rabbi Shimon, nobody knows that a collection was made because you're just tapping into the already collected funds. And so that works out well now. In other words, so then we can understand why, according to Rabbi Shimon, the people did not hear about the retraction. Amar Rabbi Zera, on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Mashal de Rebbe Lazar Lama Davidomer. So let's, I skipped an important line. Okay, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Sorry. Tani. Here we're going to learn the Braisa together. Now, I said in the Mishnah, there were two opinions in the Mishnah. The opinion of Rabbi Meir and the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now in this Braisa, we're going to be treated to two more opinions on the matter. Tani, we learned in this brisa, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. So again, the issue on hand is based on issue an erroneous ruling, based on retracted that ruling, and now you have a person violating the issue based on the retracted ruling of Beis Din. What's going to be the liability of that person if he did so, even though Beis Din retracted the ruling, but he did so based on what he thought was okay, because Beis Din at one point in time issued a ruling. So, we start off with the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, Rechayev. Rav Meir's position is really simple. Beis Din retracted the ruling, you no longer were in the clear, meaning you should now have known better, and therefore, if you violated the Torah on this matter, you bring a carbon chatas. Nice and simple. Rabbi Shimon Pater, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the individual is exempt. That's the same Rabbi Shimon we learned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Amar Safek, Rabbi Lazar says it's a Safek, like we learned in the Mishnah. So far we've been treated to now one additional opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that you're chayev, period. Interesting, by the way, that our Mishnah does not bring in the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and usually Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, but okay, and our Mishnah is not a Stam Mishnah, so that doesn't...
How could you be chayev if you didn't even hear the retraction?
Right. In other words, Rabbi Shimon's position is easier to hear. Rabbi Lazar's position is easier to hear. Rabbi Meir's position is difficult. I agree.
Why not the grace period? You know, like a grace period of 30 days, 60 days.
Right. In the Mishnah, there was
next.
In the Mishnah, they made a distinction. There, you know, Rabbi Kiva and Azar were talking about a distinction of somebody who was home versus somebody who was on, you know, was on the road. So, but yeah, I could hear that, and Mishum Sumchas. And now there's one more opinion in the Braisa Amrutalu. They said, well, it's suspended. Now, suspended over here is a little bit strange because it immediately followed the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says it's a suffix. Suffix and talui usually is kind of the same thing. So over here, obviously, so suffix and talui are not the same thing. So Am Rav Yochanan Ashem talui ka benar. Rav Yochanan goes on to explain. Yeah, yes, there's a difference between Rabbi Lazar and Simchas, and the difference is Ashem talui. And Rashi explains over here as follows. And I'm going to paraphrase Rashi. Rashi, second to last Rashi on this Amud, but I'll paraphrase it. According to, let's start with Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, suffix means it's a bona fide doubt. Meaning, were you okay in doing what you did, yes or no? It's a suffix. Meaning, I could go either way on the matter. Beis Din did once upon a time issue a ruling that was okay. Beis Din then retracted the ruling. Should you have known about the retraction? Maybe. I'm meaning, we're literally in the middle of yes and no. Right? There's yes, there's no, and there's maybe. So we're literally in the middle over here. And when you're in the middle, meaning when it's a suffix of whether you violate an Isser or you didn't violate an Isser, so you bring an Ashem Talui. So Rabbi Lazar puts us right in the middle of, should you have heard about the retraction? Maybe. And so therefore, Karban Ashem Talui. Whereas according to Simchas says Talui. Talui over here means we're going to take the meter and not put it in the middle, but we're going to put it closer to... No, you weren't really expected to hear about the retraction. Meaning, should you have heard the retraction? Meaning, I know that's not a legal term, but and I know I'm not speaking from a strictly legal standpoint. But in other words, it's somewhere between you were not expected to hear the retraction with two. Maybe you should have heard about the retraction. But in other words, we're not right in the middle between yes and no. We're a little bit closer to you weren't really expected to hear about the retraction, but they did put out the retraction. What you did was not totally excusable, but mostly excusable. That's the way Rashi explains Simchas. Uh-huh. Amar Bizera.
They were davening in units, right?
Okay.
Were there rabbis in charge of communities?
Right. In other words, the proliferation.
Those who were really in the center of the heart of observing.
Right.
In the heart of the finding out.
The question of how information was disseminated back in the day.
And,
right.
And what period of time?
Right. I hear you. In other words, it's... You know, for us, by the way, like it is rather amazing for us. Information is disseminated,
instantaneously.
So for us, like for us to try to absorb, how could people not know? Meaning, okay, look, from where we are now historically, it's almost impossible to imagine. Like, how could people not know?
They had to go out of their home.
Right, right.
We have everything.
Right. Amar Rabbi Zeira, we are on the very bottom of the Amud. Amar Zeira, Mashal de Rabbi Lazar Lamad Avadomer. So, the Gemara is going to give its classic Mashalim. So, let's start with Rabbi Lazar. Now, remember, Rabbi Lazar puts it at a Suffolk, at the point of Suffolk. So, Ladam Shachal Suffolk, Chela Suffolk Shuman, but no Delo, Shemevi Ashem Talui. So, it's very simple, says the Gemara. It's like a person who ate a piece of fat and doesn't know whether Shuman or Chela, meaning he's right in the middle of Suffolk. V'lomi abai laman damar, and the Gemara goes on to explain within this mashal on the top of Dalamad Aleph. V'lomi abai laman damar, tibar maisi demefarsim emilse alafi laman damar, based in Rivian. Dalamefarsim emilse, yehavishal havo amrinle. Now, again, it's a machlokus which we'll see in more detail tomorrow. Who brings the parhelm davishal tibar? Is it the people? Is it the Bezdin? So if it's the people, you could certainly understand that, hey, you really should have heard about the retraction. The people brought the carbon, meaning we brought the carbon. The collection was made from us. So you should have heard about the retraction. Ah, you didn't hear about the retraction? I kind of understand that. But in other words, suffix. But the Gemara goes, I'll even go a step further. Even if it's Bezdin's responsibility to bring the carbon, still, there is an obligation for you to have heard about it. And therefore, you should have heard about the retraction from Beis Din. So, Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Abin Vitem Rabbi Yossi bar Zvita Mashal de Simchas Lama Adavar Domer. Now we're explaining the opinion of Simchas. Now remember, Simchas says that it's mostly excusable. Somewhat inexcusable, but mostly excusable. So Lama Adavar Domer lo Adam Shevi Kapar Oso Ben Hashmashal Safik Mibo Yom Niskapar lo Safik Mishachashecha Niskapar lo She'emi Mevi Hashem Talui. Really interesting example given to as an analogy for the opinion of Simchas. Let's say you have a carbon you need to bring. You give it to the Kohen, you say, do me a favor, take care of it. One of the more basic rules when it comes to a carbon has to be brought during the day. You cannot bring a carbon at night. A carbon that's brought at night is simply disqualified. So the Kohen took his sweet time to bring the carbon. He brought it at the tail end of the day. In fact, it was so tail end of the day, it may have been brought during Ben Hashmashos. Now, did you successfully bring your carbon, yes or no? The answer is probably yes. Meaning it was the tail end of the day. It was now maybe during the Bein HaShemeshos period. Even what the Bein HaShemeshos period is subject to a debate. See Rashi over here who talks about that a little bit in terms of when the Bein HaShemeshos period is. But most likely the Kohen brought it correctly at the correct time of the day. So if that's true, so do you need to bring another carbon? The answer is no. Because most probably you're okay. Same thing over here. In terms of you following the Beis Din, even though Beis Din retracted, most probably you did so because Beis Din issued a ruling. It's mostly excusable. V'lomi by laman dam rebein mevi'im delom farsam emilse elafi laman dam retzibar mevi'in dem farsam emilse v'havu armina lei dahacha besafik mebe'yom safik mishecha shecha isha lo ishkach inesh demishaylei. So the Gemara says, and even if, again, we go to the two sides of this issue, if Beis Din's the one responsible to bring the carbon, I certainly hear that you're mostly excusable. Because there was no assessment that was made. The people are not bringing the carbon. Beis Din brings the carbon. I'm expected to know what Beis Din's doing at all times. And even if it's our responsibility to bring the carbon, the Gemara says, I could still make an argument for Simchus that's mostly excusable. You didn't find out about it. You didn't learn about it. You had nobody to ask. The Gemara says, I can hear Simchus' argument. So where do we stand on the issue where a person follows the ruling of Beis Din after it was retracted? So in the Mishnah, we had two opinions, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. In the Braisa, four opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, and Simchus. Again, just quickly rattle off. According to Rabbi Meir, you do need to bring a carbon. According to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need to bring a carbon. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's a suffix, and it's a suffix right in the middle, therefore you bring an Ashen Talui. Simchus also holds it's a suffix, but it's a suffix more closer to it's excusable, therefore you don't even bring an Ashen Talui. Truth of the matter is, halachically, Simchus comes out like Rabbi Shimon. Is there a halachic difference between Simchus and Rabbi Shimon? I don't know. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Amalo ben Azai Maishna Minayosha v'chulei. The discussion in the Mishnah between ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva regarding making a distinction versus between someone who is sitting at home versus someone on the road. Someone sitting at home, expected to hear about the retraction. Someone on the road, not expected. And Rabbi Ben Azai says, what's the difference? And Rabbi Kiva says, it's really simple. When you're at home, you're expected to hear the news. When you're on the road, you're not expected to hear the news. So Shabbi Kamalei Rabbi Kiva la Ben Azai. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva's making a really good point. What's Ben Azai going to say? Am Rabbi Hichlik Bader Chika Benayu. La Ben Azai Chayev Daha Bebeise Yisila Rabbi Kiva Pata Daha Hichlik Bader. The Gemara creates now a much smaller distinction between Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva. Ben Azai agrees with the basic principle of Rabbi Kiva. If you're on the road, of course, you're not expected to know the news. You're traveling. Here's the difference. The difference is hichzik baderech. You didn't leave your house yet. Meaning, Beis Din issued a retraction at the time when you're still home, but you're 2 hours away from leaving to the airport. And so now you are packing your bags. You're getting ready to go. So for anyone who has had the experience of traveling, you know that right as you're about to travel, your head right now is not totally there. Meaning you are thinking about traveling. You're hichzik baderech. Rabbi Akiva says, I put him in the category of traveling. And since I put him in the category of traveling, so then, so under those circumstances, I feel that he's under the umbrella of, he was not expected to hear about it. Meanwhile, according to Ben Naz, no, if he's home, he's home. He was planning on traveling. I don't care. Right? You could use this Gemara to answer the question of when should you say Tfilas HaDerech. Meaning, in other words, most people wait until they actually start traveling. In other words, from the Gemara over here, Hichzik Baderech, if you are planning on traveling, meaning you're getting ready to go, so the Gemara says that it's like traveling. It's like you're actually on your way. Okay. I don't know if that's a fair point. I'll let the postgame discuss that. We continue on the Gemara. Horu lo beisin la'akros kol haguf. Now we're on to the second half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah talks about what kind of erroneous ruling does it have to be on the part of Beisdin. So what the Mishnah says is that if they try to eradicate an entire mitzvah, that doesn't qualify. If they're eradicating only an aspect of the mitzvah, that qualifies as an erroneous ruling, and thereby, if the people follow that, so then there's going to be a parhelm davashel tzibor. But if an attempt is made on their part to eradicate an entire mitzvah, that doesn't qualify. Now, like I told Hedy a moment ago, it's a drasha. Meaning the Gemara simply says it's a drasha. It could also be that, in other words, there's an error and then there's an error. Meaning if they're trying to eradicate an entire mitzvah, that's such a gross error, meaning that may not be referred to as a hora. Meaning that's not a ruling, right? The eradication of an entire mitzvah. An aspect of a mitzvah, so that's subtle, it's a little more nuanced, that may be considered a ruling. That could be behind the...
It seems like the penalty, there's no penalty for it, but it's more penalty when you do entire mitzvah.
Yeah.
It should be correct or something.
Right, but it's
here it seems like they're getting...
It's counterintuitive.
Right.
It's,
yeah. In other words, right. Yeah. In other words...
But I think there's more severe punishment than bringing...
As an analogy, in other words, it's practicing medicine and then there's... Negligence. Total negligence.
Right.
So in other words, if you're practicing medicine, so under most circumstances, you'll be exempt. I know we live in a very litigious society, but in other words, you'll be exempt. If you're negligent, so then...
So what do you do with them? He doesn't say.
Right, right. In other words, but just to call it a hora, it's got to be an aspect. It can't simply be they're looking to dismiss an entire mitzvah in the Torah. Tana Rabbanan. V'nelam davar v'loshiyakra mitzvah kula. Ketzad. So here, the Gemara is now going to give examples, pretty much the examples we saw in the Mishnah. I'm going to go quickly. Amrei nid the betorah and Shabbos betorah and avodas kochav betorah yachu yechayav mitamar lamar v'nelam davar v'sholotil salim mitzvah kula. So hare elu peturim. So in all the cases where they're trying to eradicate either nid the Shabbos or avodas zara, so if they're trying to eradicate the entire mitzvah, they're going to be exempt from the parhelam davar because that's not considered a ruling.
There's a question. You said a try as opposed to error. Is it arguing entire mitzvah as an error or they're trying on mezid?
Well, no. Everything right now is error.
So if it's error, so why wouldn't...
Right, but still, even as an...
They have a more punishment.
I do hear you, but even as an error. In other words, look, I could just simply say it's a drasha and then be done with it. But in terms of just trying to give us ourselves a better understanding, it could also have to do with this idea of being an aspect of a mitzvah versus the entire mitzvah. But okay. Anyway, ha'arei l'patorim. Ava amri yesh nida b'tor ava ha'bal shomer eskam keneged yom pater. Yesh Shabbos b'tor ava ha'motz mershus yach l'shus harabim pater. Yesh avodos kochavim ava ha'mishtach ava pater. Yachul yi p'torim tamalamra v'nalam davar v'lo kol agav. Okay, the Braisa says an aspect, all the examples that the Braisa gave are examples that we saw back in the Mishnah. And in fact, we're going to even discuss them in further detail. So, as we get through the Gemara, I'm going to explain them again. But, again, nothing new in the Braisa. But the wording of the Braisa is a little bit strange, and the Gemara picks up on that. Amar mar, yachlu yu paturim. So, you might have thought that they'd be pater. Meaning, as a havamina, you might have thought that if they're taking away an aspect, they're going to be pater. The Gemara says, I don't understand. E b'kiyam mitzvahs abitul mitzvahs paturim, uvakiris kol aguf paturim, b'may chayavim. Meaning, even as a havamina, to express a havamina of, I might have thought that an aspect would be pater. Well, look where we are right now in the Braisa. Eradicating an entire mitzvah, they're going to be exempt. Eradicating an aspect, again, it's a havamina. But eradicating an aspect, they're going to be exempt. So when will they going to be chayiv? So tana hachi kakashale. So the Gemara says, you're not reading the Braisa correctly. The Gemara says, let's read the Braisa correctly. Ema davar kula milsa mashma. Maybe the word davar means an entire mitzvah. Meaning, in the second half of the brisa, when the Gemara is entertaining the havamina of an aspect, that you'd be pater from an aspect, what the brisa is actually entertaining is that in a case where they're removing an aspect, that's not going to be chayv parhelm davar shel tzibur. Only when they remove an entire mitzvah, they're going to be pater. I'm sorry, they're going to be chayv parhelm davar shel tzibur. Tamar lamar v'nelam davar. That was the havamina, that's the maskana. So in other words, the brisa ends where we were in the Mishnah. To remove an entire mitzvah, that doesn't qualify as a horah. To remove an aspect, that does qualify as a horah. My mashma, how do we get from the words v'nelam davar to the conclusion of just an aspect of a mitzvah? Amar Ula karibe v'nelam mi davar. Really interesting approach by Ula, which is, here's what we'll do. We'll take the mem from the word v'nelam, and we'll kind of like carry it over to the next word. Now, when you're reading the Torah, obviously you do not do that. In fact, when you're reading the Torah, you got to read the Torah clearly. So you have to read v'nelam davar. However, in terms of drush, he basically is taking that mem, and he's v'nelam, and the mem is like almost like carrying over to the next word, mi davar. So if it's mi davar, meaning from an item, an aspect of the mitzvah. Chizki amar amakravasu achas mikol mitzvos v'lo kol mitzvos. So it's mikol mitzvos. The Gemara says mitzvos tarte mashma, and the word mitzvos itself sounds like multiple, and therefore when it's mikol mitzvos, it means an aspect of the mitzvah. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mitzvahs Ksiv. Then Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I don't like that drasha. Because if you look at the Torah, yes, we pronounce it mitzvos, but it's spelled B'lashon Yachid, meaning the classic Kri Uksiv. It's pronounced one way, but it's spelled another way. So the fact that it says it's pronounced mitzvos, but it's spelled mitzvos. Rav Ashi Amar Yalef Davar Davar Mizakim Amri. Rav Ashi says, we learn it. It's a limud. It's Xer Shavar from Zakim Mamri. Dichsibe Zakim Mamri Kiyipale Mimcha Davar. Lo Sasurman Adavar Shay Agidalacha Yamina Small. Ma Mamre Min Hadavar Velo Kol Davar. Af Bahora Davar Velo Kol Davar. I'm sorry, Velo Kol Aguf. Just like Zakim Mamre. When the rebellious sage comes back after Basin issued a ruling, and he goes back to his hometown, and insistently stays with his psak, and issues a ruling in his hometown, with his psak, knowing that it's going against the ruling of the Beis Din, he's a Zakin Mamre. Zakin Mamre only qualifies as a Zakin Mamre only under the circumstances where he is going, only when he's going against an aspect of a mitzvah. Here too, in the case of Horaz Beis Din, it has to be an aspect of a mitzvah. Okay. Adkan, that is the numerous ways that we arrive at the conclusion from the pasuk of Nelam Davar, that's talking about an aspect of a mitzvah, not the entire mitzvah itself.
That makes more sense, aspect of a mitzvah, because who's going to remove a whole mitzvah?
Right, so, you know, right. And even
this is by error.
Yeah, but even right, but this is Hattie's point, though, and he's right. Meaning, all this is by error. Meaning, they're not doing anything egregiously. In fact, the Mishnah at the end of today's daf, we're going to be talking about a Beis Din who does so b'mezid. It's hard to contemplate. But in other words, but right now we're talking strictly b'shogeg. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel makes the following definitional point regarding a hora. A hora has to be something where the tzdukim don't agree to it. If the tzdukim agree to it, it's not a hora. Meaning, there's a group of sectarian Jews that lived in the time of the Second Temple called the tzdukim, and basically, to say it simply, they believed in Torah Shebichsav. They did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. So they separated, they created a schism between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. So many of the halachas that we know is based on Masorah, based on the Torah Shebaal Peh. They ignored it, denied it, and so therefore they only left for themselves Torah Shebichsav. If Beis Din issues a ruling that's coming straight out of the Psukim, that's not a ruling. And even if it's incorrect, and even if it's erroneous, and even if they made a mistake, if it's coming straight out of the psukim, that's not a hora'a. If we follow it, it's not. It doesn't qualify. It doesn't give us a patur. It doesn't give the Beis Din an obligation on parhelm davar shel tzibur. It has to be something where it is learned through Torah Shebaal Peh, and Beis Din came to an erroneous ruling on that, on Torah Shebaal Peh. Gemara discusses this at length. My time, Zilkari Bey Ravu. Gemara, in a really simple and straightforward explanation, says like this. Why is it that we are exempt when we follow Beis Din's ruling? We're exempt because we're Tola, meaning we're basically hanging our hat on Beis Din. Hey, don't blame me. Beis Din issued a ruling. If it's a pasuk in the Torah, I then no longer can say, hey, it's Beis Din's fault. Because you should know. Go ask a school child, hey, what does it say in the Torah? And he'll tell you. And this is something where you can't just simply say, oh, it's Beis Din's fault because Beis Din told me it was okay. No, the Torah says otherwise.
But there are occasions like the Torah says something that they change it, though.
Okay, so we're going to see. We're going to see multiple examples. Tanan. So let's take a look at some of the examples in our Mishnah. Now, granted, this part is to me very interesting. Granted, our Mishnah is not talking about davar shetzukim modimbo. The Mishnah is talking about davar mi davar v'lo kol davar. Our Mishnah is talking about the distinction between an entire mitzvah versus an aspect. Here, we're talking about something that's tukim or moda versus something that's tukim or not moda. Most probably, it's like its own separate category, meaning it's not the same discussion as our Mishnah. Okay. Although, I happen to know that what I'm saying may not be in agreement with the way the Rambam presents it, but to say it simply, this is its own separate category. And as a result of that, the Gemara is using examples in our Mishnah to just simply highlight whether or not this principle is true. Let's go to example number one in the Mishnah. If, let's say, Beis Din says, look, we know there's such a thing as Nida, but Shemar Yom Kenegi Yom Pater. V'amai Shemar Yom Kenegi Yom Uksiv V'Safra La. Shemar Yom Kenegi Yom, it's a pasuk in the Torah. V'Safra La, the Torah talks about a woman during her Yemei Ziva, if she discharges during her Yemei Ziva, so she has to do a Sefira, she has to count. Malamet Shesefer Es Echel Echad. And from there we learn out that she has to count. If she discharges during one of her Yemei Ziva, she has to count one clean day. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So the Gemara says, and if it's a pasuk in the Torah, well, the Tzukim will agree to that. And if the Tzukim agree to that, it's not a hora. And meanwhile, the Mishnah gives an example of a hora. So the Gemara says, Damri harishaya Gemara biyahuda asire. So the Gemara says, well, the Beis Din's ruling was regarding the actual act itself. In other words, they say that Ha'ara is mutter, partial penetration would be permitted, but full penetration would be asr. The Gemara says, Anamiksiv. What do you mean? That's also articulating the Torah, Es Mikara Ha'ara. The Torah, when describing the act of a man and a woman while she's an Ida, the Torah says, Ha'ara, that's talking about a partial penetration. Da'ami Kedarka Asir Shalok Kedarka Shaya. So the Gemara says, well, maybe natural cohabitation would be permitted, but what the Beis Din ruled is that unnatural is going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, Haksiv, that's also a pasuk in the Torah. Mishkeve Isha. When the Torah describes the act of homosexuality, the Torah says Mishkeve Isha, which means that unnatural intercourse is considered intercourse. So the Gemara says, the Ika, the Amri Kedarka, Asra Afilo Ha'ara, Bishlo Kedarka, the Amri Kedarka, Asra Afilo Ba'ara, Bishlo Kedarka, Gemara Biyahuda, Asra Va'ara Sharge. So the ruling that Beis Din issued is that if it is unnatural, and it was also Ha'ara, so they ruled that that was okay. So So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so what, you could say the same thing regarding Nida itself. Meaning, if we are so fine-tuned in such a detailed example, why did you have to go to Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? You could just say that regarding a Nida as well. So Elalolam Kedarka. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go back to discussing just simple relations between a husband and wife. So the Gemara says, now, it could very well be that our assumption is wrong. Meaning we ask the question, isn't Hara articulated in the Torah? So the Gemara says no, because the Torah says the words Dava, which also may give the indication that it's only going to be an Isser when it's full penetration, not partial penetration. So in other words, what the Gemara is simply deflecting and saying is that partial penetration may not be clearly articulated in the Torah. It's clearly Asr, but it may not be clearly articulated in the Torah, and so therefore it may qualify as something where the Tzedukim do not agree to it. Ibai Sema de Amre. Another point the Gemara says is that maybe their ruling was that during the day it's going to be Aser, but at night it will be Mutter. Now, why would the Tzukim, why would they think that the Iser is only during the day, not at night? Because the Torah says, Yemei Zova. If you only have the Torah and you don't have a Torah Shabbat Peh, the way you could interpret the Torah is Yamim, meaning only during the day, not at night. Tanan, Another example in the Mishnah, Yesh Shabbos B'Torah, Aval HaMotzi Mirshus L'Rishus Potter. There's Shabbos, but going from one Rishus to another Rishus is going to be exempt. That's the ruling of Beis Din, the erroneous ruling of Beis Din. Now, Tzukim, do they agree to this or did they not agree to this? So there's a pasuk in the Torah that talks about carrying. The Torah says you're not allowed to carry an item from your house. So the Amre Hotsahu Da'asar Achnasa Mutar. So maybe they agree taking something out of the house would be Asar, but Hachnasa, bring something into the house, would be Mutar. The Tzdukim only acknowledge Hotsah, not Hachnasa. Ibai Sam Adami Hotsah Hu Da'asiri Moshe Vizori Chari. Another example, says the Gemara, is that if I throw something from one Rishus to another, not clearly articulating the Chumash, the Beis Din comes out with that psak, with that erroneous psak, that throwing something would be okay. Throwing something is not okay. That's an issue in the Torah. The Gemara and Shabbos discusses this at length. But in the meantime, that's the erroneous ruling of Beis Din. That the Tzdukim don't agree to, because it's not written in the Torah, that would be a hurrah. Tanan, the third example. So the Gemara says, the Torah says that you're not allowed to bow to a idol. Bowing is explicitly mentioned in the Torah. How can this be an example? So one suggestion of the Gemara, maybe the Tzdukim only feel that bowing down to an idol that is bowed down to is Aser. But Markulus and Baal Peor, where you don't bow down to it as its form of worship, so they may think that bowing down to it is not an Iser. Meanwhile, it is an Iser. So that's something that Tzdukim don't acknowledge, and that could be a hora. Or maybe the method of bowing, meaning bowing is only going to be considered a significant act when done with the full body. But if bowing is done only just by bending over, so that maybe the Tzdukim to feel is not what the Torah prohibits, and based on issued a ruling that is in fact what the Torah prohibits. By Rav Yosef, Ein Charisha B'Shabbos Mao. Okay, so I'm sorry. So that really concludes the Gemara's discussion. So really, there are two points to consider. One point is that it has to be Mi Davar V'lo Kol Davar, meaning that the ruling of Beis Din has to be on an aspect, not on an entire mitzvah. If they attempt to eradicate an entire mitzvah, that does not qualify as a hora. And two, the statement of Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, which is has to be a ruling that the Tzdukim don't acknowledge. Meaning it can't be explicitly mentioned in the Torah. If it's something explicitly mentioned in the Torah, that's not a hora. So it has to be something which is alluded to in the Torah, meaning deduced through Torah Shabbat Peh, but not something which is explicitly mentioned in the Torah. By Rav Yosef. We're now on the very top of Dal Med Beis, the following. Ein Charisha B'Shabbos Mahu. What if Beis Din removes Charisha on Shabbos? Now Charisha is one of the 39 Malachos. It's the first of the 39 Malachos. It's actually, whatever. It's number two. It really should be number one. See the Gemara on Shabbos, on Gimel, on Dal for a discussion of that. But anyway. But it's one of the Malachos on Shabbos. And so now, the Beis Din is saying that plowing on Shabbos is okay. Is that the Shabbos in its entirety, or is that an aspect of Shabbos? Meaning, it's a Malacha. But as a Malacha, is that basically identify Shabbos? Or is it just simply one of the 39 Malachos? Conceptually, a really good question. How to view one of the Malachos? So, me I'm in a kevin deka mode, bekulo milsa, kebito mixas, vikia mixas dame, audilma kevin deka akrin le lecharisha kol iker, ka akiras gov dame. So, do we view this now as just simply taking away a part of Shabbos, which qualifies as a ruling? Or is it that they're now basically erasing Shabbos, which doesn't qualify as a ruling? So, Atashma. The Gemara says, well, let's see. Yesh nina b'torah v'al ha'bal shomer yom keneged yom pater v'amai. Ha'akrin le shomer yom keneged yom kol iker. Now, one of the examples of the Mishnah is where they say shomer yom keneged yom is mutter. Now, shomer yom keneged yom, that's an entire mitzvah. And they're seemingly doing away with the entire mitzvah of shomer yom keneged yom. Amal charev yosef shomer yom dekamrinan kiddushaninan. So the Gemara says shomer yom keneged yom. Go back to what we saw in the Amud Aleph. We're not talking about the entire institution of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. We're talking about, like we said on the Amud Aleph, Bi'ashalach Kedarka, Ha'ara, day, not night, meaning it's simply an aspect of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Tashma Yesh Shabbos B'Torah V'Al Mosim Rishos Yach L'Rishos Rabin Pater V'Amai Ha'akren Lo'otzah Kol Iker Ha'asam Nami Kiddush Shaninan. What about Hotzah? In other words, that's a malacha. The Gemara, again, go back to what we learned in the Yom Aleph. We're not talking about the entire institution of Hotzah. We're talking about Hotzah versus Hachnasa. We're talking about throwing versus carrying. Again, an aspect, not the entire malacha of Hotzah. Tashma. Yesh Avodos Kochav V'Torah V'Al Meshachav V'Pater V'Amai Ha'akren L'Shachavai Kol Iker. What about bowing? Isn't bowing an entire institution? And again, the Gemara says, no, go back to what we learned on the Amud Aleph. We're not talking about the entire institution of bowing. We're talking about bowing to something that's not normally bowed to. We're talking about bowing without Pishu Yadayim V'Raglayim. In other words, once again, a description of something which is not removing the entire institution of bowing. By Rav Zera, Ein Shabbos B'Shvi'as Malon. What if Beis Din offers a ruling which is basically a temporary suspension of the Isser? Does that qualify as a ruling? Temporary suspension. So let's say during the Shemitah year, they say, you know what? It's during the Shemitah year, we get a break from Shabbos. During this entire Shemitah year, we don't have to observe Shabbos. So they are removing Shabbos, but it's temporarily. So does this qualify as a ruling? And again, what we're really asking now is Beis Din now going to be liable for the Parhel Mdavah Shel Tzibor on a temporary relaxation of a mitzvah? B'mai, Tau. Ba'adein Kra. Now, first of all, why would they even say that? what got them to thinking that during the Shemitah year, we get a pass on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, here's maybe what they thought. Be'charisha v'katsir tishbos, bizman dika charisha ika Shabbos, bizman daleka charisha leka Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, look. In other words, in a time where there is Charisha, there's Shabbos, and when at time there's no Charisha, there's no Shabbos. Meaning, during the Shemitah year, we're not plowing at all. And so, it could be that Beis Din erroneously concluded that if there's no plowing during the entire year, so there's no Isser of plowing on Shabbos as well. It's wrong, but at least that's how they arrived at that conclusion. So, me, I'm going to keep Mekayim Alam Bishar Shnei Shavu, Kebitl Mixos Vekiyam Mixos Dami. So, do we view this as an aspect? Because they're not getting rid of Shabbos altogether. They're just getting rid of it for a year. So is that considered like an aspect? Or maybe no. Meaning, even though it's temporary, but they are removing Shabbos as in its entirety, so maybe we view this as the removal of an entire mitzvah, albeit temporarily. I'm Ravina Toshma. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider based on what we learned back in Sanhedrin. In the 10th parak of Sanhedrin, the end of the 10th parak, we talk about a Navi Sheker. A Navi Sheker who does his wonders and his signs, and then says, and hey, let's not do one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. So what's the halacha? Navi Shin is Navi Lakar, Davar Midivri Torah Chayev, Lebitl Mixus Lekim Mixus, Rabbi Shimon Omer Pater. Now, by a Navi Sheker, interestingly, the halacha here works inverted from what we're discussing by the Beis Din. Navi Sheker, if he's trying to remove an entire mitzvah, he's going to be subject to the death penalty. If he's removing an aspect of a mitzvah, debatable whether he's subject to the death penalty. However, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so then, Afil Amra, Hayom Ovda Lamachar Batla, Chayav. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, an exception. As a Navi Sheker, if he temporarily tries to suspend Avodah Zarah, so he's going to be Chayav according to everybody. Shema Minayin Shabbos Bishvis, Kibitl Mixus Vikim Mixus Dami. So clearly, the way the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about temporarily removing a mitzvah, it's viewing it as an aspect, clearly. Because what the Gemara in Sanhedrin is saying is that Avodah Zarah is the exception. Meaning, under normal circumstances, removing something temporarily is considered like an aspect. So Shema Minah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Good conclusion. Okay, let's go through one more Mishnah Gemara for today. Horeh Beis Din V'yada Echem Em Shetol. Let's say Beis Din issued a ruling, and there was a member in the Beis Din who vociferously argued with Beis Din and said, at the convening, gentlemen, you're making a mistake. This is wrong. And he says it. That's one example where now, at this point in time, this is not considered a ruling. Now again...
So what happened to the majority?
Yeah. Right. It's right. It is difficult to understand because even though he is vigorously and loudly protesting the ruling of Beis Din, meaning we do have a process, Beis Din does have a majority, Beis Din does rule based on a majority, So why does this now remove, or I should say rather, puts the burden of responsibility on the individual? It is hard. I admit it's hard to understand. But the Mishnah gives us as an example. Oh, and remember, and Rashi makes this point over here as well. Earlier we said that in order for this to be considered a hara, you need a unanimous viewpoint of Beis Din. Okay, and again, I admit, I do also find this hard to understand, but that's what the Mishnah says. Osha lo haya muflish al Beis Din Shamar, let's say that the Beis Din wasn't there. Osha ya echemeim gero mamzer on a sin of zakein, or let's say one of the members of Beis Din was simply disqualified for various reasons, convert, Mamzer, Nisin, Zakein. Okay, I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but in other words, just simply disqualified to be a member of Beis Din. Shalarai Labanim, Harezeh Pater. In all these cases, the ruling that was issued from Beis Din is not considered a ruling, and as a result of that, they're not going to be Chayv Aparim Davish Shal Sibar. Shenemar Kan Edam, Nemar Lahalan Edam, Ha'edam Amor Lahalan Kula Ru'in Lahara, Av Edam Amor Akan, Ashi Ru'in, Shiyu Kulan Ru'in Lahara. They all have to be fit to give a hora'ah. The Gemara discusses, O shalayam mufla shal beis din sham, minalan. Now the mufla is not there. The head of the beis din is not there. Now let's make this point also very clear. If no one filled in his place, so then you have a missing beis din, and that clearly is not going to work out. Meaning that someone filled in his chair, but he wasn't there. So the head of the beis din is not there. And that now disqualifies the ruling. And therefore it's not a ruling. And therefore they're not going to bring a parhelm davar shal tzibur. So, the Gemara says, look, let's go back to the point that we made in today's daf, on the Amud Aleph. Something that the Tzdukim agree to, it's right there in the Chumash. You know why the responsibility of the individual has not been removed? Because open up a Chumash and read a Chumash. If the Mufla is not there, if the mufla is not there and they offered a ruling, that's not a ruling. A ruling without the head of the basin is simply not a ruling. And so that therefore does not remove the responsibility of the individual, because basin issued a ruling, but the head of the basin wasn't there. It's nothing. Nemer shamedim and nemer kaneda nashi kulam ruin la rava asam inalim damer chista makravi satz visham imach bedomam lecha. So in other words, how do I know that every member of the basin has to be ra'ui? Because they were all with Moshe. And just like Moshe is somebody who is qualified, they all have to be qualified as well. Ve'ema imach l'shchina, well, it just simply means maybe that they're with Moshe in order to get to draw from the nevuah of Moshe. Elam Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amakra v'nasu itach. Itach b'dom amlacha. The Gemara quotes another pasuk that clearly articulates that they have to be together with you. They have to be. They have to be similar to Moshe, fit and eligible to serve on the basis. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll start with the last mission on the summit.